Esme thought she had outdistanced the last of the news hounds two stops before her homeworld, Altiplano. When she came out of the arrival lounge into the main concourse, the bright lights blinded her for a moment. They had figured out where she was going, of course. She set her jaw and kept going. They could have all they liked of her walking from one side of the station to another. They might even get someone on the down shuttle, but once she hit the dirt, they would find themselves blocked. That would be one good to come out of this misconceived homecoming.
Lieutenant Suiza!
It took a long moment, several strides, for her to realize that one of the yells wasn't a news hound's demand for a comment, but her Uncle Bertol. She looked around.
Oh, no.
He wore his dress uniform, and Esme thought ahead to the reaction of her fleet acquaintances when they saw the news clips of this. When he caught her eye, he quit waving and pulled himself rigid. Esme stopped short, bracing against the expected crunch from behind, and saluted. When her father had sent word that he could not meet her at the station, she'd assumed that meant no one would. She hadn't expected Bertol. Now he opened a path between them with a glance that sent the news hounds scurrying out of the way.
Good to see you, Esmea.
And you, sir.
God's teeth, Esmea. I'm not a sir to you.
But the twinkle in his eye approved of her formality. The stars on his shoulders glittered as the cameras shifted for better angles, their spotlights crisscrossing. Esme had told Fleet that her father was one of four regional commanders. She had not reminded them what must be in her file, that her uncles Bertol and Gerard were two of the others.
I guess you didn't starve in Fleet after all. You know Grandmother is still convinced you can find nothing legal to eat.
Esme found herself grinning, even as she wished he hadn't brought that up. Grandmother was his grandmother, not hers. Well over 100, and an influence as potent in her way as Papa Stefan in his. She turned, hoping to convince Bertol not to grandstand for the cameras.
I'm fine.
Bertol touched her shoulder gently.
More than fine, Esmea. You give us pride. We are more than glad to have you home.
Now he turned. His aides, she noticed now, had been scattered in the crowd and now came together at his back. The glaring lights receded behind them.
When we get down, we will celebrate.
Esme's heart sank. What she really wanted was a quiet drive out to the Estancia and a room with windows open to the Rose Garden and a full night's sleep, a night that fit her body's rhythms. Bertol ushered her into the waiting shuttle and into the rear compartment, which his aides closed off as they came through.
We can't waste this.
What's going on?
Tension curdled her stomach. She did not really want to know.
What's going on? You'll be fully briefed later. We didn't reserve a full shuttle. We thought it would be too obvious, naturally enough to have a private compartment. And there's no way out of the welcoming celebration, though I'm sure you're ready for a vacation at home, eh?
Esme nodded. She glanced around at Bertol's aides. The militia ranks were not those of Fleet, exactly. The insignia, except for stars marking flag rank, were completely different. It came back to her in a rush. Infantry, armor, air, navy. What her fleet called, somewhat disparagingly, wet fleet. All four branches here, all of them older than she was. The one wearing armor tags had an ear wire, and now he turned to Bertol.
General Suiza says it's all ready, sir.
Your father. He's in charge down there, for reasons that will become clear later. In the meantime, there'll be a formal ceremony at the shuttleport, blessedly brief, if you know your father. And then a parade into town, and a formal presentation at the palace.
Presentation?
Ah, you see, Esme, when it was your action that saved an entire planet, and then you don't even get a token of recognition from your fleet.
Dear God.
Esme scrambled through all the possible explanations she could make that he would not understand, and realized it was no use. They had decided that her fleet had not sufficiently honored her, and it would do no good to point out that her acquittal was itself acknowledgement and reward. Besides, she knew that someone had put in a recommendation for a medal, which made her skin itch to think of it. She wished they'd just forget it, but this...
And it's not like you're just any shaggy pony out of the back lots. You're a Suiza. They're treating you...
Very well, Uncle Bertol.
She was hoping to stop him if she couldn't stop the ceremony.
No, I don't think so. nor does the Long Table. They voted to give you the Star Mount.
No.
Yes.
And a title of your own, to be converted if you marry an Altiplano.
Dear God.
She didn't deserve this. It was ridiculous. It would cause immense trouble either way. No matter that Fleet would not realize it had been intended as a rebuke, they would find it awkward, and that made her awkward.
Not much of a steading with it. In fact, your father said he'd provide that. It's that little valley where you used to hide out.
Despite herself, Esme felt a stab of pleasure at the memory of that little mountain valley, with its facing slopes of poplar and pine, its grassy meadows and clear stream. She had claimed it years before in her mind, but had never thought it would be hers. If it could be. She remembered some RSS regulations she was afraid might interfere.
Don't worry, it's under the limit. Your father ran a new survey and chopped it short at the upper end. It's under the glacier there. Anyway, if you need to refresh yourself on the protocol of the award ceremony...
She did, of course. The data cube the major with the armor insignia handed her contained not only the ceremony, but a briefing on recent political developments and her family's position on all of them. The Minerals Development Commission was still squabbling with the Marine Biological Commission over control of benthic development. That quarrel would have been unimportant on many worlds, but on Altiplano, the Minerals Development Commission represented the secularists, while Old Believers and the Lifehearts controlled the Marine Biological Commission, which meant that an argument over exactly when a benthic vent community was dead and could be mined might erupt in religious riots around the entire planet.
Sunny is involved with the Lifehearts again.
Esme remembered vividly the moment when her romantic feelings about the night sky became utter certainty that she would have to leave her home forever. Her Aunt Sani, Sanibel Aresha Livon Suiza, and her Uncle Bertol screaming at each other across the big dining room at the Estancia. Sani, a Lifeheart, as rigid in her piety as any old believer. Esme found the Lifeheart philosophy attractive, but Sani in a rage terrified her. Yet it was Bertol who had thrown the priceless chocolate pot, shattering its painted water lilies and swans, scarring the wide polished table. Her own father had walked in on the end of that, with Sani scrabbling on the floor for shards and Bertol still yelling. And Papa Stefan, 2 paces behind him, had shamed them both into apologies and handshakings. Esme hadn't believed it. Whatever was wrong between Sani and Bertol stayed wrong. And was still wrong. And here she was, back in the middle of it.
It's not my problem now. I'm only here for a short leave.
She likes you. She says you're the only sane member of your generation, and now you're a hero.
I'm not. All I did...
Esme, this is family. You don't have to pretend. All you did, you babykin, was survive a mutiny, come out on top, and then defeat a warship twice your size.
It didn't know I was there until too late.
So you were smarter than its captain. Hero, Esme. Get used to it. You're carrying our flag out there, Esme, and you're doing very well.
She was not carrying their flag, but her own. They would not understand that, even if she dared say it to them. And Bertol sounded too much like Major Chapin, too much like Admiral Serrano. She had been a hero by accident. Why wasn't it as obvious to the others as it was to her?
And Sani's proud of you. She wants to talk to you, ask you all about Fleet, about your life. If you're meeting anyone eligible, if I know Sani.
She had left for a good reason. She should have stayed away. Yet at the thought of the whole family for once approving, for once seeing her as an asset rather than a very chancy proposition, her heart beat faster.
The Star Mount.
She remembered the first soldier she'd seen awarded the Star Mount, a lean red-haired fellow who walked lopsided. As a little girl, she had stared and stared at the medal on its blue and silver ribbon that dangled around his neck, until a disapproving grown-up made her apologize and then quit following him. No one from Altiplano could be indifferent to the Star Mount, and she didn't have to tell Fleet how she felt.